The view from behind here is very, very limiting. There's a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. When we cast judgments on people, this is what we're doing. We're placing them behind bars. When we extend mercy and forgiveness, we actually open the door and release freedom. Today's Bible reading is written in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on the fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that was owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I got it to work. A couple of weeks ago, after I'd finished my sermon, after the service was over, Nicole, where's Nicole? Nicole came up to me. It was the perfect thing. Nicole came up to me and she said, "I just want to chat with you about your sermon for a second. I disagree with you on a certain point." And I thought to myself, that's fantastic. I was wrong. There was a piece. I won't tell you what part it was, of course. But I was wrong. And she was listening. She had just had a discussion with some people on campus, wasn't it? Some people on campus about this very thing. That's what the scriptures are all about, is the discussion and correcting and hearing and listening. And Nicole, I thank you from a couple of weeks ago for saying, hey, let's think about this one more time. You didn't make me feel bad about myself either, which is good. I got some keys in my pocket today. We talked about this a ways ago. From our scripture lesson today, I want to talk about what the master's key is. Now, how many of you have a set of keys? How many of you want a set of keys? Yeah, there's something about keys that, of course, opens doors, but it opens different things too. So I've got a key here for a car, which we don't even need to, you know, it's weird. And then I've got a key for the back gate, for the lock. I got a key here for the electronics box. Got a key for my house, but here's the key that I really like. It's a master key. Has anybody had their hands on a master key before? What does it do? What's a master key do? It opens everything, right? So this key right here opens almost every single door in the complex, here and at the school also. This key does. Right? When Jesus talks about the master key of relationships, last week we talked about a specific key that restores relationships. We're talking this week about the master key that helps relationships continue. Because I've got, if we think about this with regards to relationships, I have a key that fits for Christine. It's beautiful and complicated and wonderful. I've got a key for Rolly that I'm still figuring out how it works, right? I might have a key for each one of us that helps us understand how we can restore relationships, but the master key that works for every single one of us, that's what we're talking about today. I'll show you what I mean. If you've got your Bibles with you, open up to Matthew 18 today. And we're starting at verse 21. Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister? Seven times? This sounds like a kid question, doesn't it? How many times do I forgive them? And Peter thought he was being generous, because in the Hebrew culture, and if you look at the book of Amos, God even says, forgive them once, forgive them twice, three times. After three times, you don't have to forgive him. And it sounds like Peter's going, well, I'll just double it and add one, and then I'll be a good student. Right? I'm being generous. I'll show you what this looks like in real life. How many of you have ever had to share a room in your life? To share a room when you were younger or whatever, either brother or sister? How many of you have ever used tape in that room? Yeah? Okay, so it goes like this. Georgie, can you help me here for a second, please? So you get frustrated with your brother or your sister who keeps... Oh, that's enough. Who keeps coming on your side of the room to touch your stuff, right? So the logical thing, rather than allow them to continue in this way, is to build an invisible barrier wall with tape, right? So, of course, everyone knows that this wall will not allow you to actually get across, of course. But if you're like me, if you're like my brother, there's always this sense of, how close can I get? Right? Are you like me? Or you're in the car, and of course, there's the invisible wall between you and your brother or sister. You want to know how close you can get to this line without actually trespassing to your brother. Or in this case, how many times can I get close enough and then I don't have to forgive anymore? Right? So Peter says, seven times. Is that enough? Seven times? What does Jesus say? There's a few more times we're going to have to talk about. So Peter, and we all understand, and we all think like kids sometimes with this kid question. Nah, it's not seven. 70 times seven, which seems totally unthinkable, unimaginable, unbelievable when you're talking about your brother or your sister. Right, Elias? How can I forgive my brother or sister 490 times? My brother, before he became a pastor, worked with juvenile delinquents for the county in Iowa City, Iowa. So from instead of working with people in a church, he worked with people who were destined probably to end up, you know. His job, the kids would have restraining bracelets on their ankles so that they couldn't leave their houses. But once a week, he would pick them up to take them to their group session so they could talk about their anger and all the things that were going wrong. But my brother, he worked for the county, worked for the government, so he couldn't actually talk about his faith legally unless they asked him a question. So my brother had this bright idea that as he drove the young boys to their group session, he'd leave his Bible open in the front of the car. And so one day, as they're driving down the road, this one young boy, maybe 13 or 14 years old, looks over the front seat and he sees the Bible there and he says, "What's that?" And my brother said, "There's a faith question." So he said, "That's the Bible." And it happened to be open to this passage right here. And he said, this passage is really appropriate to what we're talking about as human beings in relationship with each other. You know, these 490 times, these are opportunities for you to think not only how many times you've sinned, but they've sinned against you. It's really about forgiveness. But as kids do, they don't necessarily think in those terms, and they often misinterpret what you say. Adults, I think, do that too. So the boy, instead of hearing it's about forgiveness, heard it was about condemnation. And so what's 70 times 7? 490. He decided to go home and count his sins and tally them off. As the months wore on, he started to get more agitated, got a little more nervous. Because in his mind, once he got to 490, he was going to hell. So one day, this true story, he gets a call from the mother of the young boy. And she says to Ryan, "What is going on? My son is sitting in the toilet with his hands on his head, rocking back and forth, shouting these words, 489, 489. Jesus knows that it's about forgiveness. We know that it's about forgiveness, but it doesn't make it any easier, does it? How can this actually happen? So let's teach this like Jesus does. We know that there are various people who are following, and we sometimes see that they're disciples. That is just the disciples, but not this case. If you turn back to the first part of chapter 18, we'll notice who else is there. The very first words, at that time, if you're with me, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "So who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who was it? Do you remember? There's a child. He called a child and had him stand among him. "Truly, I tell you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom." There are children who are in the masses who are following. In chapter 19, Jesus, the parents bring those children out of the crowd and place them in the midst. There are kids. So Jesus is going to give the world's best and most awesome children's sermon, because he wants us to learn to teach the kids young, right? We got to start young when we're teaching kids, because even in that first piece, "Be like this little children," and then Jesus says, "Woe to any of you if you teach this young one to sin. Woe to any of you if you allow the culture to tell you to lie to children. Woe to you if you tell these children and teach them to be idolatrous. Woe to you. It'd be better if you tied a millstone around your neck and go jump in a lake." Starting to teach young, we need to mirror these things. We need to show them. So what does he do? He describes what this looks like. Michael, can you come up and help me again, please? Okay, so I've got this great big heavy... No, I'm going to let Michael pick it up. I've got this great big, heavy weight here. If you can see it, that's great. Can you pick that up for me? I know you've been lifting weights this morning. So we've got this millstone, if you will. You know, Michael, is it heavy? Is it light? What's that like?
It's a heavy. I reckon it's about 26 kilograms.
26.
So, and for you in America, that's about 57 pounds.
That's right. So at the first service, Michael goes, it's about 30 kilograms. And I said, it's 26.2 because I weighed it this morning. So now he's got it. So 57 pounds. If you were to translate this into silver, so you got 60 pounds of silver, how much would that be worth, if you can remember from the first service?
It's about 100 silver coins, something.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Now, in Australian dollars.
Yeah, Australian dollars. How much would that be worth?
About 40,000.
That's right, 40,000. So let's assume when Jesus says, thank you very much, I'm going to put this down. When Jesus says, there was this king who had a servant who owed him a lot of money. And this weight was heavy to carry, this burden. And we've got a 26 kilogram brick here. Imagine if it was in silver and you had to carry that around your back. That amount of silver in today's rate, I looked it up this morning, about $42,000. Maybe you could afford that. Maybe some of you could. You can drop that kind of cash all the time. Yeah, maybe you can get through that. But Jesus goes way overboard. He says, imagine now that you've got people social distanced all the way to Elizabeth, carrying that much silver on their back. One every 1.5 meters. That's how much he owes. From here to Elizabeth, everybody's carrying that on their back. I don't think we can pay that off. Right? So what happens? The master who has the ability to actually pay that off or not, just cancel the debt, says, you know what, go free. How do you feel then? What do you feel? A deep breath. You feel happiness. You feel free, right? Free to do whatever you want. That debt has been erased. What's his first response, this servant? To go out to the next person, right? And start choking them because they owe them pocket change. In his unforgiveness, he throws him into prison. But at the same time, the father throws him, the master throws him into prison. When we forgive, nobody goes to prison. Now, this is the hardest part. We think, okay, 490 times I have to keep forgiving. But when does the other person get it? Right? When do they figure it out? Well, it's not about the other person, and it's not about you. It's about what God has done for us in Jesus, right? Are you with me? So what does this sound like? What does it look like? What does it live like? Getting back to this little piece right here. Okay, so, you know, 490 times, just seeing how close I can get to this. And if I could just forgive, what does forgiveness do? Well, it looks like this and it lives like this. Forgiveness actually rips up the barrier and the boundary that you've established between someone else when you think they've trespassed against you. And it balls it up, right? This is really fun. It balls it up. And it chucks it. And it throws it away. Forgiveness, that master's key, actually takes the barrier between you and the other person. And you don't forget that they've trespassed against you in the past, by the way. But it allows neither of you to be in jail anymore. What does this live like? Remind people what it opens. You know what's really fascinating about what forgiveness does and what it means for us in life? When you say the Lord's Prayer today, what's the only piece in the Lord's Prayer that is what we do? We forget. God does everything else, but there's that piece where it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And then Jesus knows that that one piece is so difficult, he actually repeats it right after the Lord's Prayer is done. Because it's that important, this master key to keep relationships going. My prayer for you this week is that you can sense the freedom that forgiveness brings. And this freedom really resonates well with this scriptural story, right? That the master whose servant has basically an unforgivable debt that can never be paid off, and he says, go your way. Here's freedom. That you would also know that in Jesus Christ, all of your debt has been paid, and you are free to forgive others. God bless you as you hear the words of freedom with the master's key. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this, God the Father, for this, the master's key that opens up and keeps open relationships. We've been restored. Now we can forgive. God, help us to hear your words, to be merciful and forgiving. For those people in our past that we know who have sinned against us and we've sinned against, help us to work through that because you have forgiven us first. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.